Father, I thank you for my brother and my partner, Chris, and thank you for the way that you have prepared his heart and mind with a word for us today. Thank you for the way that you shape his life according to your word. And I pray now that you will use him in this extraordinary way of helping to shape the lives that we will lead from this moment on because of the living word that he brings to us. Fill him and inspire him with your spirit, I pray. Give him the ability to communicate your word to us. And Father, for those of us who hear either live at this moment or later, we just pray that your word will be living in us, reshaping, remaking us. And we ask it all in the name of the living word, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Paul. Well, good morning, everyone. It's so wonderful to be with you. And let me just say who I am again, if we've never met before. My name is Chris, and I've been a part of the staff team here at Christchurch for about 7.5 years now, along with my wife, Helena, and our two kids, who I might talk about in a minute. And I actually became a Christian at Christchurch as well when I was a teenager. So it's so good to still be here and just to be working with an amazing team as well. And the bunting behind me, which you can probably see, is to celebrate our guinea pig's birthday, which we had yesterday. We had a party for them in our living room right here where I am now. So that's still up. We're celebrating that a bit more today. So welcome if you're joining us for the first time. Welcome if you're a part of our church family and have been for a very long time. It's an amazing privilege to be with you in this format this morning. If you've got a Bible with you, or you've got it on your phone, or you can switch it on somewhere, whatever it is, however you want to do it, it'd be great to have a Bible. I'd love you to turn to Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to read that in a little bit. But let me just ask you a question first before we get going. Have you ever found yourself caught in the middle of something? Have you ever found yourself caught in the middle of something? While you're thinking of that answer, let me just explain a little bit about what we're doing here at Christ Church at the moment in terms of our teaching and where we are. We're sort of in the middle of, I guess it was an unexpected series, because we didn't necessarily expect to be where we are right now. But we're in a series of teaching which we're calling Guided by the Fire. And our aim in this series really is to journey with the people of God in the book of Exodus as they come out of Egypt. And our aim is to journey with them in what for them was their unknown season and their unfamiliar place. That's what we want to do. We find ourselves in a very unknown season and an unfamiliar place, don't we? And so we're going to journey with God's people through the book of Exodus, and we're going to keep doing that today. And we'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. So back to the question, have you ever found yourself caught in the middle of something? I remember this time relatively recently. I was thinking about it the other day, where we as a family went to one of those farm places that have sort of turned into adventure parks. You probably know what I mean. Particularly if you've got kids, you've almost certainly been to one of these places. What they have in common, most of these places, is that they have an indoor space which has a soft play area and it's filled with slides, and they're usually quite steep, high slides, which is not my favorite, I'll be honest. Some of them are called death slides, and some of you will know what they are. Some of the brave among you might have even been on one of these death slides. I always remember as a kid being absolutely terrified of these slides, and I actually don't think I ever went on one because I was too scared to go on it. So we are at this particularly local farm place, adventure park, and we're having a great time, and we're actually celebrating my mother-in-law's birthday. Jane, if you're watching, hello, good morning. And it's lunchtime, so we've grabbed our lunch and we are now sat on the inside. And let me just tell you, it's raining outside, which means only one thing: it's absolute chaos on the inside, because everyone's crowding inside. Kids are everywhere. And they're going in the soft play, they're going down the slides, and it is honestly just total chaos. Rafi, who is my youngest child, wants some help going down one of these very tall slides. Now, the slide that she wants to go on is not the death slide, thank goodness, but it is, I want you to know, a very steep, very high, and very scary kind of slide. At least it was for me. So she wants to go on this slide, which is great. And I climb up with her, she sort of gets her legs over the edge and is debating and deliberating as to whether she actually wants to do it. Because obviously once you get to the top of these things, they look a lot higher than they did from when you saw it from the ground. And so she's now sat on the top of the slide and she's really unsure about, understandably, whether she actually wants to go down. Trouble is that there's a lot of kids around. And there's a lot of kids that want to come on the slide. And so there's a bit of a queue that's forming as Rafi is deliberating her decision, which adds a little bit of pressure to the situation. And then the dreaded question comes. Daddy, can I go down on your lap? Daddy, can I go down on your lap? Which is now where I find myself very much caught in the middle of something. Because being a good kind of father that I am, I really want to help Rafi, right? I want to help Rafi. I want to help her down the slide. I want to help her experience for the first time what it would feel like to go down this slide. But the trouble is, there's a queue behind me. I can't go back very easily because there's lots of kids around, but I really don't want to go forward down this slide. Being the good father that I am, I get over it and we go down the slide together and we get down to the bottom. We plunge into the ball pit. Behind, down at the bottom. And I mean, it was genuinely terrifying to me. And, Rafi gets up and says, can we do it again? And I was like, absolutely not. And, I have absolutely had, enough of that, even just for the one thing. I found myself caught in this position where I couldn't go backwards and I really just didn't want to go forwards. But in the end, I decided that I had to go down this slide. The title of my talk today, if you're taking notes or if you're interested, the title of my talk today is very simply, There in the Middle. There in the Middle. And if you've got your Bible, I want you to open it. And if you haven't done already, let's go to Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to read from verse 10. Exodus 14, and we're going to read from verse 10. It says this. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us here to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of the Lord who was traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched his hand out over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and their left. Those are our verses for today. And I want to take the next few minutes with you just to expand on some of those things and explain some of what I sense God has been saying to me over the last few days and weeks as I've been thinking about them. It's important to say before we jump into these particular verses that just before this, right at the beginning of chapter 14, the Lord has spoken to Moses and he's told Moses exactly where the Israelites need to go. They've left Egypt and it's now time for them to move on. And God has told them exactly where to go. In his divine strategy, God has decided where to position the people of Israel in this moment. And so if you go back and read the beginning of chapter 14, you'll find out where that is. But essentially the Israelites are now in that place in our verses today. So God has taken the people exactly where they need to be. But as they look up, the Bible tells us that the Israelites were terrified as they saw Pharaoh and his chariots approaching them. They were terrified, understandably. So where do the people of God find themselves right in this moment? Where do the Israelites find themselves? I mean, they're literally right in the middle, right? They are literally in the middle of it all. Behind them is the threat of war, of battle, of possible death, of maybe going back into slavery, the place that they were crying out not to be in. Behind them is all of that stuff. And in front of them is this impossible body of water. I mean, for that moment, they would have felt like they were trapped, right? It would have felt like they were totally trapped. They can't go back and they can't go forward. And they're sort of stuck right in the middle of it all. But remember, right at the beginning of chapter 14, God has positioned Israel exactly where they need to be in this moment. This place that they find themselves is the divine strategy of the Lord in this moment at this time. But for the people of Israel, it would not have felt like that in this moment, I don't think. And we know that because it says, the Bible says they were terrified. They find themselves in the middle, can't go back, can't go forward. They find themselves right in the middle. They're terrified. And in this moment, it clearly would not have felt like a divine strategy of God to put them in this position, would it? Because for one moment there, it must have felt like they were totally trapped. And some of you listening this morning or on catch up, some of you may be listening and you might be feeling so far away from the divine strategy of God in your life or the purpose of God in your life. You might be feeling so distant from that right now. And you might be feeling right in the middle of something right now. And as Tom Beach was saying in our interview, I don't want to just speak into our current situation with regards to coronavirus and isolation and lockdown, although that is obviously really important too. But some of you, you might find yourself in the middle of other stuff right now as well. Some of you might be having relational difficulties wherever you are. Some of you might have lost your job even because of what's going on. There might be a whole bunch of stuff that you find yourself in the middle of right now, and it doesn't feel like the divine strategy of the Lord for your life. Now, I've got to be careful with what I say here, but let me just say this. What if where you find yourself right now and what you find yourself in the middle of right now is God positioning you before he brings breakthrough into your life? What if? Because for the people of Israel, God had divinely positioned them at this time. And what is not the divine is planning them about to do something amazing in their lives. He was about to do something amazing in their lives. And I've been really struck by verse 14 in this. Verse 13 says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid," he said. "Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." And verse 14 says this, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." You need only to be still. And so I'm wondering today for you, what does stillness look like to you at the moment? What does that look like to you? Where are the moments of stillness in your life right now where you can connect with the Lord, that you can connect back into him in and amongst everything that's going on and allow the Lord to fight for you wherever you are? I believe there's something really powerful for us in that today. As we move through the story, we have this other moment where God speaks to Moses in verse 15. He tells Moses basically exactly what's going to happen next. He tells Moses about the raising of the staff and the splitting of the sea. And he tells him the plan, essentially tells him the plan. And we get to verse 19, which says this. Verse 19 says, "Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and the armies of Israel." So the Bible tells us that the presence of God, the guiding presence of God, repositions. It's been in front, and now it repositions to behind the people, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. So where does that now put God in this story? Like, where's God in the story now? And if you're feeling brave, and you could even say it out loud where you are, God is now right there in the middle, right? God is now right there in the middle. The people were in the middle. And now God, who has repositioned himself from being in front to being behind, coming in between Israel and Egypt, he is now the one in the middle. Isn't that amazing? And it strikes me, and it's been striking me all week, to be honest, like, isn't that what God's always been doing? Hasn't he always been putting himself right there in the middle of it all? Hasn't he always been doing that? I remember hearing someone say to me once, or I think it might have been in a corporate setting. I remember someone hearing someone say once that God does just as much behind our backs as he does in front of our faces. God is doing just as much behind our backs as he is in front of our faces. And that's another encouragement for us today, wherever you are and whatever you're facing, that God is working behind your back where it's harder to see. God is working where it's harder to see right now in your life. I believe that God is working. He's also working in front of our faces. Isn't that so good? So good. So God has repositioned himself, and he's now placed himself right in the middle of it all. And when you look at the life of Jesus, when we read about Jesus in the gospel stories, time and time again, isn't that what we see in Jesus? That we see him time and time again putting himself in the middle of it all. He absolutely does that in his life. But not just in his life, also in his death, he puts himself right in the middle. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Our verses today, they move on, and verse 21 says that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all night long, and we've talked about this a few weeks ago, but all night long, the Lord drove back the sea with an east wind. God is working all through the night to make the miracle happen. He's working all through the night to bring the breakthrough and to split the sea. It says the waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Strikes me again, a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. So where does that now put the people of God? They're back in the middle. But now not back in the middle feeling that sense of being trapped because they can't go back and they can't go forward. They're now right in the middle of the breakthrough, in the middle of the miracle, and they're walking through the middle of the sea. They're walking right through the middle. And it reminded me of something. When it said that they had a wall of water on their right and on their left, it reminded me of something. And it reminded me of the time, and Luke captures this in Luke 23. It reminds me of what Luke says about the death of Jesus. And it's only a week ago that we were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Only 1 week. Can you believe it? 1 week ago. And Luke writes this in chapter 23 of his gospel. He says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals. It says one on his right and one on his left. One on his right and one on his left. Now in his life, Jesus absolutely placed himself right in the middle. God's always been putting himself in the middle. But also in his death, Jesus literally is in the middle. Jesus is in the middle of it all. And I believe today that there's some incredible encouragement for us, that wherever we find ourselves, whatever we find ourselves in the middle of, that we're encouraged that God is in the middle with us. God is right there in it all with us. It's what he did for the people of Israel in this chapter of Exodus. when he repositioned himself in the story. He put himself right in the middle. He's been doing it all throughout history, and he's doing it right now. I believe that, and I believe that he is doing that in your life too, whatever you're facing today. So what I want us to do, Tom's going to come back in a second, and he's going to play a song. And I had all sorts of titles for my sermon today. And then I was trying to find a piece of music that I've been listening to in a few weeks before, and the title of the album was There in the Middle. And I just found it. I found what I sense God was wanting to say to us today. And there's a song on that album which is called There in the Middle. And what I want us to do is just to pause for a moment, to take a moment to reflect together on what God might be saying. And Tom's just going to play a little bit of that song to us. I'm then going to come back, and we're going to just lead a time of prayer and a time of ministry, and invite God just to come and to meet with us and to speak to us as well. So Tom, if you're there, let's invite you back. Brilliant. Well done. And so Tom's going to just play for us for a little bit, and then I'll come back in and lead us in some prayer. Let's reflect. Let's pray. Let's invite God to come and to meet with us and speak to us in this moment now.
Discomfort, you need healing. I see, I'll be there in the middle. I'll be there in the middle of it all. There in the middle. I'll be there in the middle. I'm giving you eyes to see me. I'm giving you eyes to see me. 'Cause I'm there in the middle, and I'll be there in the middle of it all. There in the middle, there in the middle. And the storms come and the winds blow, and the fires burn around you. When the storms come and the wind blows and the fires burn around you, I'll be there in the middle. And I'll be there in the middle of it all. There in the middle. I'll be there in the middle. I'll be there in the middle. I'll be there in the middle of it all. There in the middle. I'll be there in the middle. And I will not forsake my own. Will not abandon you. I will not forsake my own. I'm faithful, so faithful. I will not forsake my all. Will not abandon you. I am faithful. I am faithful to you. 'Cause I'll be there in the middle. I'll be there in the middle of it all. There in the middle. I'll be there in the middle.
So what Tom's going to do is Tom's going to just keep playing for a little bit, and I'm going to just explain just how we might pray just into this, some of this stuff right now. And you know, I've said a few things this morning that might relate to where you feel like you are right now in your life, and you might find yourself right in the middle of something, to be honest. You know, you might find yourself in a really crazy situation, which may well be related to the virus and lockdown and isolation, all that stuff. And it may be related to that. And we want to pray for you in that. But it may be something outside of that as well. It might not necessarily be that. You might still find yourself in the middle of something that might have been going on since way before this happened, and it might still be carrying on, or it might even be something new. But whatever it is, this morning, you might find yourself right in the middle of something. I'm struck again by that verse in Exodus 14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Psalm 46 is an amazing verse, and I encourage you to go, amazing psalm, and I encourage you to go and read that at some point over the next few days. And in that psalm is that very famous phrase where the psalmist writes about, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Maybe for you this week, it might be an encouragement for you to seek stillness or more stillness in your life, and we encourage you to do that, to seek some stillness this week if you haven't yet found that. For some of you, it's actually about inviting God into the middle, where he actually already is, but it's maybe a recognition of God in the middle right now. And maybe it's for you, it's taking your situation before him and bringing it before him and allowing him to be present in the middle of it all. Because that's where I believe he is right now, whatever you're facing and wherever you are today. And so I want to take a moment to pray. And I want to pray for you particularly if you're finding yourself in the middle of something. And I pray that the Lord would meet with you, that he would speak to you, and that you would know his peace, his hope, and his joy today. So let's take a moment to pray. Just as Tom continues to play in the background, let's take a moment to be still and to pray. And then I'll invite Paul back to finish.